Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute, divisions of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends. Michel A. Kim de Montagnier said, "The value of life lies not in the length of days, but in the use we make of them. A man may live long, yet live very little." Our guest today is making full use of all his days. As usual, we pause just for a moment here at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii radio show is to lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ, to lead you closer and closer to Him, for you to put your trust in Jesus Christ and thereby enter into a relationship with Almighty God who loves you and knows you. Did you know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine? He shed His blood on that cross. And it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. He was buried, and 3 days later, Jesus rose again. And the living Christ today calls people just like you. And He reaches out to you, wherever you are, whatever you're going through. And God says, "Danny, tell them I love them. Tell them I'm thinking of them. Remind them of how dear they are to me, even in their hardest, darkest, most painful moment, in regret, in shame, and in disgust. I love them. Regardless how they feel of themselves," the Lord says, He loves you. And you can not only have a relationship with God, but by putting your trust in Jesus Christ, all your sins forgiven, all your wrongs made right because of what Christ did for you on the cross, you can have a new start. A new beginning can be yours this very day. And I think as you listen to the story of our guest and the special interview that we've had, that somehow, some way, the Lord is going to touch your heart. Jim Daly is the president of Focus on the Family and host of its National Radio Hall of Fame honored daily broadcast, heard by more than 2.9 million listeners a week on more than 1,000 radio stations across the United States. Jim's personal journey from orphan to head of an international Christian organization dedicated to helping families thrive is a powerful story. He was abandoned by his alcoholic father at the age of 5 and lost his mother to cancer 4 years later. I want you to listen to Jim share his story in this special feature presented by Focus on the Family. And I'll come back with some reflections and then a featured exclusive interview with Jim Daly. Listen.
Well, this is Bixby Elementary School in Long Beach, California. And this place brings back a lot of memories, both good and bad. My mom and dad had 5 kids. I have 2 older brothers and 2 older sisters. And my mom and dad had divorced, and that had a lot of pain for me. When I was 8 years old, my mom remarried a man that really loved her, but didn't really like the kids all that much. His name was Hank. I nicknamed him Hank the Tank. He spent 20 years in the military. And this new family of his was going to be run with the military precision of a barracks. And I can remember he'd make me hang up my jacket 500 times if I left it on my bedroom floor. And then all of a sudden, my mom just couldn't come out of the bedroom. Something was wrong. She was sick. None of us knew what was happening. And about 6 weeks later, my brother, Mike, began to call each of his kids into the bedroom one at a time. I went into that room. I was thinking, what in the world is in there? And Mike sat on the bed and had me sit up on his lap, and he said, Jimmy, I got some bad news. Mom is dead. I remember I clawed his forearm so hard I drew blood with my nails, and he just let me squeeze him. And that was the day everything changed. The funeral happened, and Hank was so emotionally distraught he couldn't even go to the funeral. And when we got home that afternoon, he had sold all the furniture. He came out of the bedroom and had his bags packed and just said, I can't take the pressure, I have to leave. I'm moving back to San Francisco. And we just all pressed our faces against the window in that house in Long Beach and watched him drive away. Our dad wasn't around. Here our mom had just died, and our stepdad had walked out on us. So there we were that night. We used our clothes for pillows. We used our clothes for blankets. And we just sat in that living room that night thinking, what's next? And Dave said, I think I know a family that will take us in. It was the real family, the most unreal family that you'd ever want to meet. The next day, we're on the way. I didn't fit in at the Rhea family. It was March 1971, and five kids left Long Beach, California, and we came down this dirt road, T-Circle Drive, to a foster care family. I would say that was the day Psalm 34:18 became so real in my heart. It says the Lord is close to those who are brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And that walk down that dirt road was the day I was crushed in spirit. This is Morongo Valley Elementary School. I showed up here late in third grade and went through most of fourth grade, Mr. Todd's class. I can remember coming from the Reels house, getting on that bus, getting off here at the school property. Some days I just walk out of his class, just being crushed again and thinking, God, are you there? Is this what life is like? My mother's dead, my dad's gone, our stepdad walked out. And I'd sit on a sandhill while all the other kids were in class, and I'd just cry. God, where are you? Where are you? Could it get any worse? Somehow that real experience did something in my heart. I mean, it crushed me, but it made me stronger. I don't know, I think God used that to say it's okay. You know, he's a father to the fatherless, and somehow he put his hand around the back of my neck and said, you're not going to go the wrong way. Like the scriptures say in Romans 8:28, all things work for good to those who love him and are called by his name. And even in the bad things, you can learn how to do the right thing, to be a better dad, a better husband. And with two small boys, every day I tell them I love them and I'm proud of them. And when I say it, they just get the biggest smiles on their faces. That's the kind of dad I want to be. Some people have asked me why focus on the families involved in orphan care. And I think it's pretty straightforward. In the Bible, it says, take care of the widow and the orphan. I remember one day I was working out at the YMCA, and the mother of a staffer at Focus on the Family was working out nearby. Her job was orphan placement on the Front Range in Colorado. And she said, you know, we have about 800 kids waiting to be adopted in the state, and we must have 3,000 or 4,000 churches. And she said, I just wish the church community was more engaged. And I thought to myself, why doesn't Focus do something? If we can just elevate the issue of orphan care and foster care and mentoring, I think it would honor the Lord. So here I am on the playground of Bixby Elementary School in Long Beach, California, thinking back to my fourth grade year, the year I became an orphan myself. And I think of the 135,000 kids every year in America looking for a home, wanting to say, Mom and Dad, hearing, I love you. There's over 300,000 churches in America. That's less than one child per church. I think the church can do it and demonstrate the love of Christ in a culture that is so skeptical of what the church is about today. We're all orphans, aren't we? And God has reached down and touched us and grafted us in to His family. Can we do any less for the least of these?
That's Jim Daly sharing his story in a feature by Focus on the Family about a young boy who was an orphan and now is the president of an international Christian organization called Focus on the Family. And every day he's heard on the radio on over 1,000 radio stations and a weekly audience of 2.9 million listeners. But could you feel his heart? Could you sense his heart? Could you feel the heart of the Lord for broken people, specifically broken children who are lost and looking for love? Perhaps as you listen, the Lord may once again touch your heart, tug on your heart, shed a light on your heart to remind you of something that he's placed there to do for someone, for a child, for an orphan. We're going to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, we're going to hear a special interview that I was privileged to have with Jim Daly, an exclusive interview here for the Good Life Hawaii radio show, where Jim talks about the passions that he has. What is he most passionate about? Some of his role models. One in particular that I think will both intrigue you and interest you and encourage you. And also how he became a Christian. That and much more when we come back. You see, today as you listen, I want you to remember that, like Jim said, you know, aren't we all orphans? And haven't we been grafted in through Jesus Christ into the family of God? Perhaps you feel alone. Maybe you don't feel like you're in the family of God. You've never placed your trust in Jesus Christ. Well, it's a loving message today. You too can be part of God's family. Trust in Jesus. When we come back, you'll hear more from Jim Daly. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
Hear me calling. You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
He says in his autobiography, published in 2007, "I'm living proof that no matter how torn up the road has already been, or how pothole infested it may look, nothing is impossible for God." That's Jim Daly sharing in his book, Finding Home. I'm Danny Yamashiro, and you're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, and I'm so glad that you're with us today, because on a day like today, where you are, what you're facing, what you're going through, oh, you can be reminded of the amazing strength, encouragement, and love of the Lord that'll make a difference in your life today. I've got a special interview to share with you. And here, Jim Daly came into the studio, and we were able to share in this time. I was able to record it and get it ready to share with you today. Listen to this special exclusive interview and enjoy our time with Jim Daly. Jim, you are a man of focus on the family. And so I think focus has a lot to do with certain passions, things that, not only get your attention, but things that grab your heart. What are you most passionate about?
You know, I think, Dan, for me, it is family. It's the idea that family should do well together. That's God's design. And I am passionate about that. People say, well, that sounds like a line, but it's not. I mean, I had a utterly broken family, destroyed family. And I think that energy, that motivation, that drive in me is, I don't think any child should suffer that kind of loss and that kind of tragedy in the way that I did. I mean, my dad was an alcoholic, and our family fell apart when I was 5 years old. I remember the day. I remember the night he walked in with a hammer and started swinging away at the walls in our house looking for my mom, shouting he was going to kill her. And I was five. And my older brother, who was 15, put me in a bedroom. And my other brother, who was 14, snuck out the window and called the police. That's going to happen. But for Christians in this life, anything that we can do to intervene and help a family not have to go through that, or help a child who has gone through that to get a better understanding of God's love for him or for her, that's my purpose.
Haven't you found that to the extent of pain, to the extent of brokenness, that there God creates a certain capacity in our lives to affect the lives of others in a redemptive way? Why do you think the Lord does that?
That's a deep and profound question, and I'm not sure, but what's interesting to me, Dan, is that this whole life seems to be tilted in that direction, that pain and suffering are a part of life, you know, obviously from a theological standpoint because of the fall and what happened in that regard. But think of it from Satan's perspective. It's really interesting. What if everything you did to try to kill, steal, and destroy human beings, somehow God could use to bring them around to him? Wouldn't that be frustrating? I mean, and it really rests with us to not become bitter, to not lose hope, to not lose joy. And if you can do that, and if people around you love you and introduce you to Jesus Christ, and you have a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, I mean, it is amazing. There's no weapon formed against you in this life that can harm you. That's powerful.
That it is. Absolutely. So here you are. You have a capacity now through brokenness to bring a redemptive message of hope and life in Christ. And you have a platform put in a position of leadership, almost like you're placed sovereignly by God as a steward of a great divine engine to bring hope to people, the president of Focus on the Family. Who would you say, Jim, were your most influential leaders in Christianity to help develop you to become the man that you are today?
Wow, that is a good question. You know, I love Billy Graham. Billy Graham is still with us. I've not had the pleasure of meeting him. I've met Franklin. I've met other family members. But Billy Graham, for me, he had the heart of it, and that was evangelism, introducing people to Christ. He was very careful with the political side and was stung a couple of times as he got into that arena and was hurt by things that were said. I think he had a good balance in that regard of how to keep the main thing the main thing. And everything in this life, in this world, I think pulls at us. Power, prestige, ego, pride. I mean, all of that pulls on us. And that political arena feeds it like nothing else. You feel power. And I think Christian leadership, if we're not careful, we can be seduced by that and begin to think that we're something special in one way or another. And I think we've got to be very leery of that. You know, Jesus, when he walked this earth, and even the Apostle Paul, when he confronted King Agrippa, they didn't start with a list of demands for Caesar. I mean, they just went after the heart. And they didn't care, you know, what your status was in this life. If you were King Agrippa, or you were Pontius Pilate, or you were the woman caught in adultery. I mean, they just talked to you about the reality of God, mm-hmm. and that God is ultimately the one in control, and that nothing you can do, Pontius Pilate, would be done unless my Father let it happen. So what you got to do, go ahead and do. That's powerful stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, and the way that Jesus handled that encounter with Pontius Pilate, for me, is just brilliant. I mean, if I were in Pontius Pilate's shoes, I would have been quaking. My knees would have been knocking. Because here's this man, everything I say, he turns back. And every bit of wisdom I try to muster, he gently turns it back on me. That would be a profound moment. And it speaks to me. I also look at Paul with King Agrippa. King Agrippa was the grandson of Herod. King Herod was the one that tried to kill baby Jesus, you know, sort him out and find him and kill him. And yet Paul is addressing King Agrippa with great respect, saying, you know, it's good to be presenting my case in front of you, King Agrippa, because you're so knowledgeable and wise in the things of our religion and our faith. And, you know, at the end, King Agrippa says, hey, if I didn't know better, you're trying to convince me to become one of you, Paul. And he said, hey, now or later, yeah. except for these chains, I would hope it would be so. And it's just a wonderful, we need to humanize Scripture and understand these are human beings just like us with the same emotions, personality traits, limitations. They were like us. And think of that exchange and the humor in it, the love in it. And we need to approach people of power in that same way.
When it comes to the beginning, we all have a beginning, but the beginning of walking with the Lord. How did you become a Christian?
Yeah, it was definitely wobbly, but I went to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes camp. I was 15 years old.
FCA.
And I had a terrific football coach, Coach Paul Morrow, who just in 2011 won the National Football Coach of the Year. He coaches out of Arizona now. And we were his rookie group. He had just come from Long Beach State in Southern California, and he came to our little high school in Yucca Valley and took over the freshman football team, which was the one I was on. And he just took an interest, you know. He put an arm around me. He asked me to come over to his house for dinner a couple times, he and his wife, Joyce. And I found out about their Christian faith. My mom had accepted the Lord the day before she died, but nobody talked to me about it as a 9-year-old boy. Nobody came alongside me and said, this is what that meant. We just kind of all muddled along. And it was my football coach who paid for me to go to a FCA camp in Point Loma, Southern California. And a guy got down in front at night after playing football all day. And this guy got down in front to preach. And he said, you know, if people have let you down in your life, if your father has let you down, if your stepfather has let you down, I thought he was telling my life story. And he said, there's someone who will never let you down, and that's Jesus Christ and a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you want that? And I'm like, whoop, right down to the front. And, you know, but for probably 7 years, I wobbled along as a football player in high school. I would party on the weekend still. But the Lord even used that to convict my heart. You know, should you still be doing that? And it was beautiful. It was like a father gently and sometimes forcefully parenting me.
Parenting. We all need the guidance of the Lord. And our Father is so gracious in the way that He guides us and gently and sometimes firmly and sometimes forcefully. Needs to get His message across to us. But always remember that it's from a loving, gracious God. who needs to be firm and stern because of his great love for you and for me. And Jim, as you can hear him you can feel the love in his heart because he himself has been broken and has experienced grief and loss and pain. And you know, it's not one of those things that just happened quickly. I mean, he's had to process these things in life, and God used it as a way of seasoning him to prepare him for the mighty things that the Lord is using him to do today. And as much as you're touched by it today, the Lord has a purpose because he's got a distinct plan to unfold in your life right now. When we come back from our break, Jim will share with us more from this special exclusive interview. He'll talk about the gifts that he discovered that God had given to him. And for parents, some of the lessons that he's learned as a parent. And what about growing closer to your spouse the longer you're married? I mean, we've got so much good stuff here about parenting, about making it through difficult times, all from Jim Daly of Focus on the Family. In fact, to find out more about Jim and the ministry of Focus on the Family, you can find out more at focusonthefamily.com. That's focusonthefamily.com. When we come back, more from Jim Daly. You don't want to miss it now, so stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a program that was born out of prayer. The Spirit of Christ guides us through prayer, empowers us through prayer, and provides for us through prayer. There are mighty things that the Lord is doing in the Northeast, across the United States, and around the world. Would you like to be a part of God's work through The Good Life with Dr. Danny? Visit drdanny.live. Dr. Danny invites you to join his prayer team. Each month, you will receive a letter updating you on some of the behind-the-scenes developments, prayer requests, along with a devotional that Dr. Danny writes to encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Join the prayer team today and make an eternal difference in people's lives. Visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Jim Daly has received the 2008 World Children's Center Humanitarian Award, the 2009 Children's Hunger Fund Children's Champion Award, and the 2010 Homeward Family Ministry Award. He's appeared on such television programs as Larry King Live, America Live with Megyn Kelly, and ABC World News Tonight. He's also been featured in Newsweek and USA Today. I'm so glad that you're joining us. I'm Danny Yamashiro, and it's a blessing that you're with us today. Before our break, Jim was talking about how he became a Christian there at a football camp put on by the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He talked about how his coach had such a great influence on him. And now he shares more about his football exploits and how the Lord used that to prepare him for the great work that he was to do in the days to come, much of which he is doing right now with Focus on the Family. And now, here's more with Jim Daly. We all need that parenting.
We do. Gosh. Don't we?
And isn't it amazing? Well, what position did you play?
I played quarterback.
Quarterback.
Oh, man. It was so much fun. And you know, here's a great illustration. My brother played for Nevada Reno. He was a big guy, played defensive end, and 6'6", 300 pounds, and quick. And I played quarterback. And my brother said to me, "You're getting a big head." You know, I started getting all these scholarship offers from TCU and UNLV, big schools, 1A mm-hmm. schools. Mm-hmm. And I probably was very happy about that. And I remember before playing a game, I knelt down with the tight end. I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, if you don't want me to play college football. Now, I'd been a Christian 2 years, 15. I'm now probably 17. And I said, Lord, if you don't want me to play college football, break a bone today, but don't let it hurt. And now, first of all, it's a very quarterback prayer. Yeah, isn't it? Yeah. Don't let it hurt. And the third quarter of this game, this very game, I dropped back, and a freshman or a sophomore came in at fullback after we had somebody ejected from the game. Never happened in my 4 years of playing. So it was a freak play where he got punched. He punched the guy back. The ref caught him. Kicked him
second
out of the
punch,
game.
Right?
Second punch always mm-hmm. gets caught. The sophomore came in to block, missed his blocking assignment, freaked out, panicked, let the linebacker come in without touching him. The guy hits me as I'm throwing the ball. I go down. I get in the huddle, and I don't have any pain, but I could feel this numb, this kind of pressure on my left shoulder, and I reach under my shoulder pad, and my collarbone's broken. I could feel it. And I'm in the huddle saying, hey, you guys, God has answered my prayer. And they thought I had a concussion. So, but that to me is an illustration. I mean, it's dramatic. I don't know that God will always do that. But in my moment when I was saying, God, you know, this little orphan kid, I just said, Lord, are you there? And do you care?
Yeah.
And does it matter whether I go this way or that way? And I would say he answered it pretty straightforwardly without any room for doubt. And so that was the last time I played.
Last time you played football?
Last time. Even though, man, I'll tell you, I wanted to. I really loved it.
Well, I mean, being a quarterback, I mean, obviously the coaches must have seen something in you as far as just, I mean, it could just be raw leadership, giftings, a certain kind of raw command that would be like a God-given gift. Well, not like, it's a God-given gift. How did you, aside from that or along with that, discover the gifts that God had given to you?
Well, I mean, I didn't spend a lot of time on it. I don't even know that I truly understand him today. I really don't. I think God gives us talents and abilities and gifts to accomplish his mission. And I think for me, like Hawaii, I mean, I love this about Hawaii. I think I could fit in very comfortably. Just kind of a, you know, God's in control attitude. And things happen. And not to be undone by them, but keep moving forward. Left foot, right foot. And, you know, growing up, that was just the way for me. And so many days, it was just, how do I survive through the day? Emotionally, I mean, we had barely enough to eat at times, but there were days where my mom worked as a waitress, two or three jobs, just to put food on the table. There wasn't a social net in the 60s, social safety net like that. So, and you know, there were days we didn't have milk for our cereal. We made Kool-Aid and poured it on our Cheerios, which, trust me, is not very tasty. I think I did that once. But the whole point of that is, I think the Lord showed me through those moments. I was sad. I was embarrassed because a lot of my friends, divorce in the 60s was not normal. Maybe one in whatever number, one in 100. I mean, today it'll be 50 in 100. So it's far more common today. But then, I mean, I felt a little embarrassed by all that, a little tentative. And I think I learned through that, you know, God can come through that and lift you up, even though you have a background that you, in the human terms, you might be ashamed of. But God redeems all that, you know, and you don't own what your parents have done. You can only own what you've done, and you're responsible for what you've done and what you will do. And I think I learned that at an early age. And that really, to me, that was the secret for me having good balance, if that's what I have. Just that idea that those around me do not cause anything in me. Only I can do that. So I make bad choices, I have bad consequences. I make good choices, good consequences. And the Lord is in all of it.
I wish I learned that earlier. Mm. And I think many of us would go so much further if we would learn that very thing earlier and not try to push blame and on other people.
Yeah. It's a hard lesson, though. It's really hard to learn that. Human beings, look at the Garden of Eden. I mean, look at the way the blame bounced around there. And we're no different. You know, we're created in God's image. The failure of Adam and Eve is still our failure today. That we can know it all, we can own it all, we can do whatever. We're not responsible for our decisions, for our actions, and yet we are ultimately responsible.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the great lie.
So here, you know, you're learning these lessons. I think it's incredible what the Lord has allowed you and enabled you to become aware of. So much in life, I think, is just being cognizant of what's happening.
Yeah.
Are we aware of what's going on? Jim Daly, talking gut level, heart to heart with you and me. And, you know, relationships are so tough sometimes. And sometimes people feel, we all feel at some moments, hey, how much further can we go with this? How much more is my resolve going to take me? But that's the very thing. Just as he expressed his commitment, you and I have a choice every day to make about resolve. Is it really resolve? Resolve is that deep thing within us that is committed in spite of what we might be facing or what even the other person might be doing. It's a resolve, a commitment. When we come back from our break, we're going to hear more from Jim Daly, the president of Focus on the Family. We'll talk. He'll share about his favorite scripture verse and why it means so much to him. And even about difficult times. What would he say to someone who's struggling right now? I don't know about you, but sometimes when I go through struggles, a word from someone who's been there can really boost me up. And that's the thing here. We want to encourage you in your life. More than just words, some things that'll equip you, inspire you, and then you can take action and begin to see a change take place in your life and in the situation around you. Jim Daly is our featured guest here at Focus on the Family. You can find out more at focusonthefamily.com, but Jim Daly's with us, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Evangelism can be likened to an exquisite pearl necklace. In order for the necklace to be complete, each pearl is carefully strung on, one at a time. Only after the last pearl is strung will the clasp be attached. Most people are convinced that the apex of evangelism is in being that figurative clasp, leading someone to trust Christ. In reality, there would be no need for a clasp without any pearls being strung. Which is more important, the pearls or the clasp? They all are. Not everyone can be a clasp all the time. But in evangelism, you can always be a precious pearl. James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A Electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Welcome back to our show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. You're listening to The Good Life Radio. We're featuring an exclusive interview with Jim Daly, the president of Focus on the Family. You can find out more about Jim at focusonthefamily.com. And here's more with that special interview. When Gene said that, you know, she just didn't think she was worthy. But you stepped in and you affirmed her. Mm. You were able to affirm her out of the resolve within your own heart. Speak to a man today. Mm. He is in a place where he's so dislodged. He's so discouraged. He doesn't think that he's worth anything in the marriage. And that, you know, whether it's a financial thing, whether he doesn't have a job, whether he just over-disciplined one of his children, and he himself has slipped into depression, he might not even know that he's there. It's just that he feels like it's the end. That's how he feels in himself. What would you say to that man to encourage him to hold on?
Well, it's hard because every circumstance is different. But the way that you've painted that picture, the first thing is not to load more guilt onto your shoulders. I mean, I think we all know in our hearts as men where we fall short, if we're really honest with ourselves, whether it's looking at pornography, not feeling like you get enough physical attention from your wife. All those things that build up a case, a justification in you as to why I feel this way. But you know what? What I'm realizing is the Lord is saying, hey, you got to put that all aside. Mm. You can't build your case because your case is really thrown out of court here. And what you got to do is love your wife the way that I love the church. Wow, that seems overwhelming. But you know what it means to me? It means putting our selfishness aside. And it's hard for us. I like to sit down and watch football all day on Sunday. Now you go to church, but then, man, it's
come
clicker
back and
time.
Watch some football.
You know, bang, 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 and you get almost three games in a row. And then Monday night, you get another one. That's how much I love football. And that is an area I struggle with because I have to intentionally say, okay, I'm going to watch one game. Mm. Now, living in Colorado, it's the Bronco game. and try to discipline myself. Say, you want to go hiking this afternoon, Gene? Do you want to go have some coffee? Where can I connect with her emotionally? And I think the problems, Dan, in our marriages today, it's so simple. It really gets down to men leading and leading in a way that serves our wives emotionally so that we can connect emotionally with them. We can be in their world. And if we take a bit of time and do that, the rewards are great. And women feel lifted up. They feel committed. They respect you as the man. And we start it. And we've got to start there by engaging our wives. Turn off the TV and sit and have coffee with your wife for 10 or 20 minutes in the evening. Just do something together. Take a walk and talk to her. Tell her about what you're feeling inside. I know it sounds so effeminate, but I'm telling you, be wise. Adam lacked that wisdom. Have wisdom. Sit down, walk, whatever you need to do, and engage your wife, and that reward will be great.
You're a parent. You got two
because they're fun.
Two energetic boys.
Yeah.
What lessons are you learning right now about parenting?
You know, you started a while ago in that direction in terms of the not having a father, and the one thing, I had a reporter from the Denver Post at our house a couple of years ago to do a little story on us. And she had heard through the grapevine that I always told my boys every day that I love them and that I respect them. And I try to do that every day, not in a way that becomes, you know, trite or boring, but in a way that's meaningful to them so they know every day. So I, rather in the morning or at night when they go to bed, I'm saying, hey, I love you. and I love who you are, and I respect you, and I'm proud of you. And you can just see the smile on their face. So she had heard this. So she's at the end of the interview, after being with Gene and I for a couple hours, she turns to the boys, and we bring them in from the house. They're on the trampoline outside or something. And they come in, and she says to them, "So I hear something about your dad. What does your dad tell you every day?" And they kind of looked at each other within about 3 seconds. And my youngest, Troy, said, "Eat vegetables." And then his brother kicked in, "Make your bed." And then, I mean, they just rolled through this list of things. And she was cracking up. And eventually she said, "No, really, what does your dad tell you?" And they said, you know, that he loves us. And what was so interesting is the reporter at the end of the time said, "You know what I expected to find? We're Stepford children, being with Focus on the Family." Mm. But they had a sense of humor that was so refreshing. I thought, man, what do you think of Christians? But, you know, I think for me, fathering is about, number one, maintaining that tether of love. There is so much in our culture today that will separate you from your kids. And you as the parent have to do everything you can, even when they're doing things that are unruly, undisciplined, almost unforgettable and unforgivable. You need as a parent to maintain that tether of love. Because that kid who's 16, 17, that doesn't know whether mom or dad still loves them, they're in trouble. And you see it with girls particularly, how they're looking for affection from men to get daddy's love that they never had. So the best thing you can do as a parent is make sure you love them, whether they're behaving or not behaving. Make sure they know you love them. And then from there, wisdom will come. Just gently continue to pour wisdom into their hearts and minds and love them.
Your life verse, scripture. What's your favorite scripture?
Probably Romans 8:28. All things work for good to those who love the Lord and are called by his name. I mean, for me, that's my life. I mean, if I didn't have that to stand on, I think I'd be crazy. You know, again, it's that idea that Satan will pull out every tool to separate you from the love of God. That's his job. And so no matter your circumstances, no matter what happens in your life, if you can remember that God somehow will use this for good, that sets your mind up and your heart up to get through those troubled waters and to still affirm God's love for you and his direction for you, regardless of what happens.
You know, we need those reminders. Hmm. And these deep reminders, we need them more and more. It's almost like, you know, sometimes you just can't get enough of encouragement, because our world, our lives, we live in such a broken society, a fragmented people. Hmm. One more parting shot for someone right now. Who's got their back against the wall? They might not even be a parent. They might just be struggling with a relationship, their job. We could go on and on. I mean, it could be with a child. Mm-hmm. It might be something that just caught them off guard. And we get those moments in life. What would you say to someone? Just boost them up and say, "Look, think." Things can get better. What would you say, Jim?
There's always hope. I think the thing I'd want to encourage that person with is find that grain of hope in your heart. And I think the other key thing, and the way that you can get that balance back in finding that hope, is that I know we're created for relationship. And one of the ways that the enemy of our souls works against us is to, almost like a herd, where he pairs off one so that it becomes vulnerable. So if you're in that place where you feel hopeless, you feel that there is not a friend in the world that has time for you, that no one's there to listen to you, that no one's there to be your friend, that's a dangerous place, because we're created for relationship. Get to a church, call somebody, talk with somebody, open up to somebody. When things are brought into the light, the hidden things of your heart, the things that you thought could never be forgiven, if you talk to a pastor or a person that you trust and share those things, you'll be amazed at how much love and respect will be there for you. It's an irony. When we try to project this perfection, the enemy assails us. Our pride gets puffed up. When we express intimately with a good friend our failures, it's somehow, when it's brought to the light of day, the enemy's strength, Satan's ability to use that against us, begins to fall away, and God starts a healing process. So if you find yourself in that corner of humanity, that hopeless corner, find a friend and begin to talk with them. Go to a church where you can develop relationships. Talk to a pastor and begin to share those deep things in your soul. And that's where you'll find answers.
Jim, as you say that, I'm reminded of the very close connection. I mean, they're touching each other. Courage and desperation. Someone right now might be, they're so desperate. They don't have any more room for shame. And then all of a sudden, the courage to call on that friend or call on that parent. Who knows? There might even be reconciliation that might take place.
Absolutely.
You know, at the bottom of desperation. Jim, can you say a prayer?
Absolutely. Be a privilege. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the love that you have for us. Lord, it's unimaginable, the creator of this universe, that you would care for us, Lord, your creation, that your heart would be for us, that you would be in our corner. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your character and who you are, that humility that exists in you. And Lord, again, the love that you have for us. I pray for those who are broken. Your word says that you are close to the brokenhearted and you save those crushed in spirit. And Lord, there's something there when we go through the trials of this life, when we come to the end of our rope and there's nothing else to hang on to, not our money, not our spouses, and not our families even. There's no one. Lord, when we're at that point, you're there. And you're there to catch us when we fall. And I pray for each and every person that's struggling right now, Lord, that they would feel your presence, that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're there for them and that you love them and that you know their circumstances. And Lord, that if they turn their heart towards you, that you will intervene and set what is crooked straight and that you would light their path. Lord, I pray that this would be so for the brokenhearted today. And Lord, may each one turn to you and ask you into their heart, acknowledging that they're sinners saved by grace, your grace, and that, Lord, they can come into that relationship with you, the creator of the universe, and be able to have eternal life through that relationship through Jesus Christ. And we pray that it would be so in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. The Lord loves you and he knows you. He knows what you're going through. His hand reaches out to you. And today, he sends Jim Daly in studio to share heart to heart with you. Jim, thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for your love. Thank you for sharing that grace that God has on your life.
Now, Dan, it's great. And thank you for your graciousness, really. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Heartfelt words from Jim Daly, focusonthefamily.com. My friend, God's timing is perfect. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Visit drdanny.live for more resources, to join our prayer team, or partner with us financially. Again, drdanny.live, and I want to thank you in advance. Proverbs 30, verse 2, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Jim Daly, focusonthefamily.com. Until next time, along with my producer, David Nasora, creative director, Brian Torres, web designer, Shana Kusumoto, and guest coordinator, Jan Yee, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, may God richly bless you with The Good Life.